Here's Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
And welcome in to AP Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Jay Binkley with the editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. One Pete Sweeney. What's up, Pete?
What's going on, Jay? We're down to eight teams here. How about that?
You know what? Then there was eight, right?
Is it the Elite Eight? I guess you can't say that, right?
I think the NCAA tournament like copyrights a bunch of that stuff.
Okay. All right. I don't want to get sued. So.
But who does the viewers want? They want the NCAA tournament. They want to play off football because look at these ratings. You would say they want football up 21% from last year.
One thing I would say about this particular divisional round is, I don't know, sometimes it seems like there's at least one team that sneaks in and you're like, that team doesn't necessarily fit. I feel like these are the best eight teams in the NFL. I know that some people might argue maybe the Cowboys are better than San Francisco. I'd rather watch the 49ers and that offense as opposed to whatever it is the Cowboys want to put on the field. So I really feel like these are the best eight teams, and we're going to see who emerges. So I think that's a cool part of it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, too. I think Baltimore would have belonged.
If they didn't get hurt,
the whole
right?
situation wasn't for the injuries.
Yeah, not the depth they would have had to roll with if they had snuck in. I mean, they would have been one and done, essentially, I think. So, yeah, I just mean health-wise with these players, I feel like these are the best eight teams, and it'll be a really fun weekend of what I think should be some great football.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too, Pete, where I've brought this up a couple times, but every team in this AFC has been the team to beat at some point.
Right.
Like this team Buffalo that I think is wildly underachieving, and we'll get a lot more into Buffalo, but this is a team that's a third seed. They should be a one or two.
Yep.
I mean, when you think about where they came in, they've had a disappointing season considering how good they were supposed to be coming in. They lose. The Titans had the best two-week stretch in the NFL when they beat the Bills and the Chiefs in back-to-back weeks. The Titans were the team, quote, to beat there for a while when Derrick Henry was 100% healthy, and we'll probably see him here in the postseason. But everybody took that mantle. Maybe the Bengals, not so much, but a few people were kind of on that bandwagon towards the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking at a wild AFC where everybody is, quote, the team to beat, because the NFC, I don't look at it that way.
Yeah,
I think that you can say that about the Bucks. I think you can say that about the Packers, and that's about it.
Right, yeah. The other two teams feel like they still have to prove something. Certainly the 49ers. I think the Rams might have been in that mix as the NFC team to beat a little bit more than what would be the 49ers. The 49ers are really the true Cinderella that's left in the NFL. And maybe, I think, to an extent, to be fair, the Bengals. I could see a lot of people around the country whose team is out getting behind Joe Burrow, because I just think, you know, those lovable losers are easy to get behind. And for a team that has its first playoff win in 31 years, I think generally it's easy to get behind for sure.
I think it's going to be fun. I'll ask you later on the show who the Chiefs are going to be playing next week,
yeah,
or if they'll be playing next week. I'll get to those questions. But today was Wednesday, which means Andy Reid meets the media and advises on injuries.
The guys that didn't practice today were Fenton with the back, getting better, and Darrell Williams with the toe. So I'm trying to let it rest up, see if it calms down a little bit.
And that was
other than that, everybody practiced.
And that was it. Sorry.
You interrupted Andy.
I did. I interrupted
him.
He was getting ready to say, I look forward to the challenge, actually.
That's right.
Cut that out. Rashad Fenton, Darrell Williams did not practice today. Clyde was full. Tyreek Hill was full. Ajarius full. The Bills, which is really weird this time of year, one person, Mario Addison, the defensive end with a shoulder, limited participant. That was it. But Andy Reid did update us on Clyde.
He moved around well. We'll see tomorrow and how he back-to-backs these things. So, I mean, I don't want to say anything. I said it last week and I was wrong. So, we'll just see how he does as we go forward.
So there we go. Limited injuries for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the limited participants. I do expect to see Tyreek. I do expect to see Snead. I don't know about Clyde. That's up in the air.
Full Fenton. Participant is a good sign for Clyde. I just want to say something about Clyde. We just put the injury report. This is Arrowhead Pride Radio, so that we can talk about the Arrowhead Pride Twitter account. And we put the injury report out, and the headline today is that Clyde, who is technically speaking the starting running back of this football team, is a full participant. And I see comments, hopefully with the scout team, good for a backup. I think there's really been a change of heart when it comes to Clyde, at least for these playoffs. And you can understand why. I think of those two injuries, when you talk about Darrell Williams and Rashad Fenton, you have Clyde back in the mix, and it seems like he's going to be up. You feel really good about McKinnon. I think you feel pretty good about Derek Gore. I think the more pressing of those two injuries to watch is Rashad Fenton. It was a late scratch in that game. And, Jay, you saw Hughes against Johnson, and there were a couple of reps where you're like, okay, I think the Chiefs are really missing Rashad Fenton right about now.
No, I did too. I thought so too. Fenton definitely, you want a healthy secondary, mm-hmm. and you really kind of need him this week as well. I do like Snead. Here's the thing with Snead, full participant today. He's good in the run game, and they're going to be called upon to stop Josh Allen.
Right.
The corner's going to be instrumental in that. He rushed for over 700 yards this season. This leads us, speaking of running backs, to our first Pete question of the night.
Hey, Coach, congrats on advancing. I'm presuming that you guys may start to get a Darrell or Clyde back here, but I'm guessing it's a little bit difficult to ignore what Jerick was able to do. When you're staff in the playoffs, how do you process that? And does McKinnon almost earn a little bit of a lead nod just because of his performance, regardless of who you have available?
Yeah, listen, that's a good problem to have. So we'll just see how it all plays out. Darrell, he tried to go, but he's having a hard time pushing off that toe. We're fortunate to have a number of running backs that we feel are good runners. And, Gore's another one. And then, we'll just see about Clyde, what we get from him.
So you were asking about McKinnon there, and everybody's talking about McKinnon, 142 yards from scrimmage against the Steelers.
Yeah.
And again, I know the Chiefs just beat the Steelers, but we don't really need to spend any time on them because they're done. It's going to be a completely different looking football team. But regardless, even James Palmer, had something on the NFL Network. He put it out of package, and it might have been due to your question that I just played right there. Mm. It doesn't matter who's in the backfield for the Chiefs. It is, what have you done for me lately?
Right.
And McKinnon, that was on the IR earlier this year with the hamstring. But he still played in 13 games, very limited, didn't have the carries, got some catches out of the backfield, but he looks the freshest. And does it really matter? Because Buffalo Station asked me about Clyde, and I said, guys, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it is hot hand at this point. And I think this is why Andy Reid is a player's coach. He's not going to just go and bury the guy that started the year for him as the starter, or even another running back in Darrell, who took over while Clyde was injured at different stints. At this point in the year. But I tend to think they're going to roll with Jerick McKinnon. This is a player, too, before some of the injuries, earned a $30 million contract originally, and then he had some of these injuries, and he was really supposed to be one of the better running backs in the league. Seems fully healthy now, and I think you could fairly say that, right, Jay? In that game on Sunday night, he looked like one of the best running backs in the NFL, and I just don't know how you can go away from that at this point. It reminded me of a lot of like what an Austin Eckler does, right? You know, you're talking about like a fantasy back. McKinnon looked like a guy he should be drafting in a fantasy draft. I just don't know how you could go away from him at this point.
Yeah, there's a reason why he's here, and they've kept him fresh. He is a former quarterback back at Georgia Southern. So You talk about the trick plays and all the things the Chiefs are doing. They give a scouting look, which has kind of become a nice topic with the different people in the national media and all the different things.
You're looking for a McKinnon throw against the Bill, Jay?
I'm saying he's threw 11 touchdown passes in college. Now he's more known as a running quarterback, but that's what Jerick did. But there's a reason why he's on this football team. But the running backs are making a big difference, and it kind of goes hand in hand into what this team does. I mean, if you can't go downfield, you start taking those things away with two high safeties, you result in using running backs.
Patrick, we know Jerick had a good game last game. You guys really got him going. Whether it's Jerick or one of these other backs, what does getting the short game and the backs do for you when it comes to taking maybe those deep shots to Tyreek?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to get that involved, especially early. I mean, when teams are playing these deep coverages and they're kind of really focusing on Tyreek and Travis and all these other receivers that we have, getting the ball to the running backs in space and then making one guy miss usually ends up being big gains. And so Jerick did a great job of that this week. And then running the ball as well. And then once we do that, you see that the stuff over the top opens up. So you got to be patient with that. And then whenever you get a chance to hit over the top, you make sure you execute that one.
Yeah, the screen game, obviously they like to go down the field, but it's become very dangerous when the Chiefs do that screen game. Again, I think this is what they had in mind with Clyde.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's what he did with Joe Burrow in LSU when he was down there. Catch the ball in the backfield. He had over 50 catches senior year, over 1,000 yards. Only running back in the history of the SEC to do that. Okay, we want Clyde because we like what he can do.
Right. No, and I think, and I've said this a couple times, I think McKinnon had the game that we've all been hoping for Clyde to have since he was drafted. And, I want to say about Clyde, and again, I said it before as well, I just feel like he's catching a lot of bad breaks when it comes to he finally finds his feet under him, and then all of a sudden he gets hurt again. This has now happened three times, and you're just at the most important part of the season where the guy played good enough behind him that you just can't take the ball out of his hands. It's a tough circumstance, and Clyde's a team guy. He's going to go with any decision, and if it's McKinnon getting the primary snaps and the touches, I think he'll be there in case of an injury, and he'll focus on maybe winning that job back in 2022. But, you know, they say this in the NFL. This is one of the Andy Reid-isms. It's like competition, competition, competition. You want to have, you know, multiple guys that can go in and perform well at certain positions. And Clyde has just found himself there simply because of injury, and it is what it is right now.
One question you did ask today, Pete, you asked a lot of questions today, but there was one that really stood out to me.
Okay.
And that was a question of Melvin Ingram. And it wasn't about violence. Why do you like playing violent? I thought you were going to go that direction.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go that direction.
He loves violence, Melvin.
But no, you did this, and I believe this is a headline in itself, the question you asked to Melvin.
Hey, Melvin, congrats on the win. I was just curious, coming off that and just being here, kind of what Adam said, I'm not sure when we'll get you again. How much desire do you have to maybe remain a Kansas City Chief past this year?
I definitely got a lot of desire, but that's looking too far ahead in the future. I ain't never been a person that looked far in the future. I'm just focused on the task we got at hand right now, man, and that's trying to win another playoff game and taking it step by step, day by day and game by game. So I'm focused on what we got going on now. I ain't really looking into the future.
So speaking of guys that do contribute to this team that Buffalo is going to get introduced to, I mean, except Chris Jones didn't play in the first game. They're going to get introduced to Chris Jones, Charvarius Ward. Melvin Ingram was a Steeler last time they played, but should the Chiefs entertain, he's not going to come cheap. That was part of the deal why he went to Pittsburgh, the incentives and the money. This guy gets paid a lot of money. Would he be interested in coming to the Chiefs? Would you have any interest in that the Chiefs find a way to separate from Frank Clark, who, by the way, is fifth all-time in sacks in the postseason?
Yeah, I was just about to say, I know that they're loving playing with each other, but it feels like an either-or situation, and I don't know how you kind of come out of this and say you'd prefer Clark over Ingram, who will come cheaper than Clark than it will be to keep Clark. We'll see. The Brett Veach staff works magic, and that's why you're seeing a guy like Ryan Poles get an opportunity here potentially with the New York Giants and Minnesota Vikings and Chicago Bears, and you know, we're wishing him luck in that. But I think the staff does such a good job at making these tough decisions, and I think they'll make the right decision for the Chiefs. But, you know, I do think Melvin has true desire. I think that's true that he has desire to play here. I also think that he's interested in making as much money as possible. So can they meet in the middle? That remains to be seen. That's for another day, as Ingram was alluding to. But the Chiefs are a better team in this game than they were in Week 5 because he's going to be on the field.
Big difference that some Buffalo has been noticing. They understand that Melvin Ingram's there now. Wasn't there in the first game. It does make a difference. That game was still a close game for a while before Buffalo started separating. And the turnovers didn't help either.
The Chiefs destroyed the turnovers. The front four and the turnovers. You're looking in for what's the difference between Week 5 and now. And you know, you're looking for hope because the Bills ended up coming in and bullying the Chiefs a bit. It's that. It's the trench warfare, and it's the turnovers cleaned up a little bit. And those both should be the case where it's, you know, you have a better front four and you're a cleaner offense now heading into Sunday evening. And you're going to need to be. I mean, this is a Bills team that they shouldn't be taking lightly, and I don't think they will.
27-13 game at halftime is this. But coming up next, Ron Kopp, he's lead analyst over at Arrowhead
in studio.
In studio.
He's coming in studio.
As we look maybe briefly back at the Steelers, and we'll concentrate on the Bills next.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley. Brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to AP Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Jay Binkley with the editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. Great stuff, great content, arrowheadpride.com, obviously, always, but amped up a little bit with the postseason.
That's right. Have to.
You've had some great guests on the podcast during the week. You've had some good stuff.
Thank you. We're working on, hopefully, a good one for tomorrow. We'll see.
I didn't want to jinx anything, but no, I enjoyed Tannenbaum and all the other guests that you've had on that day. Ron Kopp. Lead analyst for ArrowheadPride.com. Instead of making a phone call to Ron, we'll bring him in because he's going to do some playoff stuff with me coming up here on Big at Night, the show that comes on after this, Pete.
That's right.
What's up, Ron?
Yeah, man, face to face. Good seeing the boss and Jay. Although I got two bosses here. We got
no,
no bosses here.
Don't say that.
No bosses here.
Don't say that. But anyway, the Steelers game, it kind of went. I don't know how nervous you were, Ron, when you watched it, because I sit here and watch our text line because I'm doing the post game, and I sit there to a lot of concerned people. It's like football's a 4-quarter game. Now, obviously, they saw the Bills the night before, and it kind of jaded them a little bit. Like, oh man, look at the Bills. Even though they didn't watch them against the Falcons where they sucked, or the Jets the week before, but they look good. And Josh Allen, 7 touchdowns. Then Patrick Mahomes is like, 2nd quarter, hold my beer, as he goes 6 straight possessions with a touchdown. And I think a lot of the chatter kind of stopped when people saw the real Chiefs stand up.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are this kind of team. We've seen them over and over again in these playoffs. You know, 2019, we saw it, you know, 24-0, 10-0, 10-0, these comebacks. Yeah, you can afford to go 5 straight possessions to open the game against the Steelers, who had a negative 55-point differential this year. I mean, that's not a playoff team. I mean, it was one of the worst point differentials in the AFC this year. So the one team you probably can't do that against is the Bills. We saw exactly why on Saturday. They're not going to play that game every time, but they have that capability, right? And especially if the other offense on the other side gives you 5 straight opportunities of not scoring and you have chances to answer every one of those times. I'm not banking on the Bills not scoring for 5 straight possessions or even 2 or 3 straight. So, yeah, they're going to have to change that up. They're going to have to get rolling a little quicker against the Bills, I would say.
I would ask you this. As you look back at this game, what do you think the issue was for the Chiefs in the 1st quarter?
It seemed like the Steelers just had a really good plan in terms of getting pressure on Patrick. I mean, he definitely was pressured and affected him. I actually tweeted it out today. He was 2 for 7 on 11 dropbacks when he was pressured. So
and Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt, both first team All Pros.
Not bad.
To be fair.
They're not bad, right? They're not bad.
Huh?
They're not bad players for those.
No,
those Steelers.
I mean, those are some of the best. And T.J. Watt was slung to the ground by Dick Allegretti. But go on.
Well, yeah, and then also Alex Highsmith too. I mean, he was giving Orlando Brown Jr. quite a bit of trouble. Both actually matchups this year, so they have a really good trio of pass rushers. And you can't really say the same thing about the Bills or honestly any other team in the AFC.
Well, he did lead the NFL though.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, yeah.
People are freaking out. I was like, hey, this team can get the quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. But we talk about how that was only really the biggest thing about how the Chiefs weren't doing well at the beginning. No other team can replicate what the Steelers can in terms of talent on that defensive line, in terms of getting after the quarterback. So that is kind of an encouraging thing moving forward.
So the one thing is when you look at the Buffalo Bills, and I know both the Chiefs and the Bills, amazing game. First time we're going to see a quarterback matchup with quarterbacks through 5 touchdown passes the week before. I mean, both Mahomes and Josh Allen, extremely good. But, you know, the Bills have taken a few steps. They actually made it to the title game last year. But Mahomes and company is so good. He's 7-2 in the postseason. They've been really good at Arrowhead Stadium. We had a streak, Ron. I know you're a young guy, but we actually had like a 20-year gap where Pete was in diapers and all of a sudden he's working for the Chiefs in the span where they actually won a playoff game. Like, this stuff doesn't always happen, Ron. We're kind of getting used to this. So the Bills come in here. The Chiefs have the experience. Mitch Holt just put a great stat out about all the experience the Chiefs have. Will it matter against the Bills, or do they even care at this point?
Yeah, well, one thing I've been saying about the Bills is that they kind of remind me of the 2019 Chiefs in terms of kind of a team of destiny vibes. Year before you go to the championship, you lose in kind of heartbreaking fashion, not as heartbreaking as the 2019 Chiefs or 2018 Chiefs. You come back, you don't have the greatest regular season, but this Bills team knows what it was all about. They were always about getting into the playoffs and playing their best football there. And I think you can say the same thing about the 2019 Chiefs. It wasn't always pretty that season. The only difference is those 2019 Chiefs had home field throughout the playoffs, obviously, because the Ravens, that one seed, lost that year. The Bills
did
not.
Let me tell you about the 90s, Ron.
Yeah. Well, but I'm just saying, I mean, I say this comparison. The Bills don't have that home field advantage. Yeah, you can have the experience that they've built up over the last 2 years of making the playoffs, but it is a huge deal to get that home field, and the Chiefs have taken advantage of it in their little run, and that's why I would still think the Chiefs have that advantage right now because they're playing at home and not in Buffalo.
Pete Sweeney, Jay Binkley, Arrowhead Pride Radio. We are pleased to have our lead analyst at Arrowhead Pride, Ron Kopp, in studio. That's the voice you hear. A little bit clearer, more clear than it usually is.
Clear. Yeah, we don't have to reach out.
Yeah,
you know? Can you hear me now?
So we've talked about the offense and how they woke up in the 2nd quarter. The beginning of the game for the defense was just very, very good. Is it more, do you think, the Steelers and the end of Big Ben's career and it being a good matchup for the Chiefs because they were able to repeat it defensively? Or is it something where maybe the Chiefs can build off that and do some of the things that they did that led to success against the Steelers? against a really, really good and hot Bills offense.
Yeah, I absolutely would say it's more on the Steelers being bad. Yeah. I mean, I you hate to say it because
because
the defense has been good down the stretch, right? And they showed that exactly against the Steelers. But, man, you see how many times did Big Ben, I mean, a pass attempt, it looked like it should have been intentional grounding because it was nowhere near, a receiver. So.
See those thoughts in your head when you're watching him saying, all right, a real quarterback would have completed that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit. But you do have to give credit to the defense because I do think that Spags was able to have a great game plan in terms of just confusing Ben. I saw some things in coverage. They were using Tyrann Mathieu in the box more this game to kind of just, be able to use all of his different talents. But that's the thing. You can do that against the Steelers a lot more because Big Ben's not mobile. Big Ben's not going to be able to kind of create outside of, if you blitz him and kind of escape pressure. Josh Allen can. And
it's like
so
a statue.
Exactly. And so
Josh Allen's
and
the business decisions, Pete. He's going to vacation now.
That's right.
Yeah, but no, I just really do think that Spags needs to adjust his game plan a little bit against Josh Allen again, and we've seen where he doesn't really adjust maybe as much. He still blitzes a lot against a guy like this. I would like to see him blitz a little less. Maybe not give him those chances to make big plays. Break out of the pocket, that kind of thing.
Here's the one thing too with the Bills: is there somebody on the Chiefs? Obviously, they didn't have Chris Jones, and they talked about it. I was listening to Josh Allen talking about Chris Jones out there now, and. Clearly Brian Daboll said it. I believe Allen called him 95. He knows damn well who he is. Sometimes quarterbacks will go into detail. No, you don't get the detail you do from Mike Tomlin because he knows where you went to school and everything about you is what Mike Tomlin knows. But he didn't play. Melvin Ingram, the addition as well with this team. Charvarius Ward playing this game. He was out that first game. So when you look at these situations, which one guy do you think is the most instrumental that wasn't in that first meeting?
Yeah, it's Chris Jones. I mean, it's got to be, right? I think one thing we kind of always acknowledge about Chris Jones, but it's really important, is that it's not even about him finishing the sack. It's not even about him beating the guard and getting into the backfield and creating pressure. Honestly, just his presence. If you're a quarterback and you're dropping back, you're trying to look downfield, Chris Jones is a very tall man. And if he's just in front of you as you're trying to look through the front of the pocket, like, sometimes it just kind of makes quarterbacks kind of panic, even if Chris Jones isn't creating exactly penetration or pressure. It's just his sheer presence in there. Not having that, Allen's going to be a lot more comfortable looking downfield into the front of the pocket. And you mentioned Melvin Ingram too. I mean, last time not only was it not Melvin Ingram, Frank Clark was his first game back, right? And you could kind of see some limitations with him, I think, physically wise. I think, he wasn't his best. And I think you've seen down the end of the season, he's been playing really well. He's been looking a lot fresher. So, yeah, I'd think the entire defensive line is going to look a lot different.
It's postseason Frank, man. He's fifth all time in sacks in the postseason.
I know. How crazy is that?
It's crazy to think about. Now, when it comes to the topic of the week and this running back situation, do you fall in the camp of they got to roll with Jerick McKinnon at this point?
You have to, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel, too.
I know. Shout out my guy Brian Stewart, our fellow film analyst at AP. He was the first guy I saw make the – and now a ton of people have after the game. But before this game, he was making the comparison to Damian Williams of Jerick McKinnon. And, man, I really like that comparison. And you saw exactly how Damian Williams in that 2018 playoffs – he didn't really do anything all year. Obviously, he was behind Kareem Hunt, and then, that stuff happened. But all of a sudden in the playoffs, I mean, he almost set a record or something for touchdowns in the playoffs. That's how relied upon he was because he got hot. And that could be a similar situation with McKinnon. McKinnon was paid $40 million like 2 or 3 years ago to be a starting running back in this league. And
he was
so
good.
He has the capability, right? It's just injuries have really derailed him. And so you're seeing a healthy McKinnon.
Here's my wild take. And I talked to Nate Taylor about this on Monday. He's talking about, a quarterback at Georgia Southern. Yes, threw 11 touchdown passes. More of a running quarterback at Georgia Southern, but he did play quarterback. Okay? And Chiefs like doing this stuff. We've seen the Cole Hardman, the failed zone read there to Darrell Williams with a fumble. We've seen Kelsey take the snap. I do believe at some point we'll see Jerick McKinnon.
Little Landry, OBJ type energy.
This guy is a true Division I quarterback.
Didn't they beat Florida that one year? Or were they just close in that game? I can't remember. But, I really think that's a possibility, especially because I think they were going to try to get McColl in that package. And then, the fumbled exchange, although I do think maybe that could have been on Darrell. It's kind of hard to tell. But most of the time, as a quarterback, you're supposed to be the one getting it in the gut, right? Like, that's on you. So, yeah, maybe they kind of switch it up now. Hey, we'll do Jerick in that situation instead of McColl, even though I do like McColl kind of his explosion up the middle, if there is a hole, that is kind of exciting. You saw it against Denver. But fumbled exchanges, you can't risk that in the playoffs.
I think they have a lot of options for that third option now. And for a while, I felt like we didn't have any. And so I think going into this game, you feel a little bit better that if the Bills are able to shut down a Tyreek Hill or a Travis Kelce. And Jay, I mean, you're not giving Kelce enough respect. This guy threw a touchdown last game.
Enough of this McKinnon talk. It is a Travis Kelce love show the next segment.
Okay. All right. That's a good tease. I would stay around for that if I was in a car.
Ron, what's going on with you this week? Anything else going on with you? I know you put it in your podcast with Stagner.
Yes, Matt. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I'll have an opponent scout out hopefully tomorrow. And then I got my five things to watch as always. This is going to be a lot more, the kind of the most significant five things of the year, right? This is the biggest game of the year. So, just look out for stuff on AP. It's coming out.
Ron, make yourself comfortable. You'll be back here in just a little bit. We'll talk a lot more stuff. I got some fun stuff planned for you, as we'll talk to you from your lead analyst,
right?
From Arrowhead
7
Pride.
7 p.m.
Yeah, Ron's going to be in here. We'll take a more detailed look at some of the stuff we didn't get to tonight. But coming up next, you asked for it, Pete. I'll deliver. Travis Kelce, step on up next.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley. Brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
And welcome back to AP Radio, brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger, Jay Binkley. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com.
Yes.
He was asking, why aren't we talking about Kelce? Well, I have plans to talk about Travis Kelce. And the first thing that came to mind was that Pro Football Focus tweet that came out. Because you're like, you understand, like, Kelce, he shines in these type of games. Mm-hmm. And how much he shines, we saw it. We saw a 48-yard touchdown. Patrick Mahomes shines in these games, but Jerry Rice, a guy that I consider top three NFL player of all time.
Yeah, of course.
And always doing damage in the postseason. You know, heck, even was on that Raiders team that went to the postseason. I already had those four rings for the 49ers. Most games with 100 yards receiving in the playoffs, NFL history. Jerry Rice, 8. Travis Kelce, 7. And he's right behind Gronk and catches in the postseason and limited games compared to him. But how good was he? He became, what, the first tight end ever to have a 100-yard game, a touchdown pass, and a touchdown catch within a game. But Travis Kelce, again, we run out of good things to say about him, but when you start being compared there with Jerry Rice, he's one game away. He gets 100 yards this week. He ties him. AFC title game, and the Chiefs, newsflash, they will make the postseason next year as well.
Right, and you're getting to a point, too, where you're like, this fall off. We've been hearing about it for years, right? He's 32. He's going to be 33 next year. When is this fall off supposed to happen? And you got to remember that you know, if you compare him to Tony, where he always gets those comparisons, Tony went for what, his mid to late 30s. So
won one playoff game, and that was with the Falcons.
You could see, I think, Travis Kelce going until his body goes on him. I think that's his desire, and he remains Mr. Reliable in the playoffs. And I think this is going to be interesting to watch as he goes along. You know, and you talk about Noah Gray, who didn't show you as much as you maybe wanted to in year one. It cost you a burrito, and we don't want to cost Jay any burritos. You know, you don't get angry at much, Jay. You were upset about that burrito, so I feel
for
you.
We'll
see in the future if Gray could be that guy. But, you know, at some point, Patrick Mahomes, like a Tom Brady, is going to have another cast of characters, and that's what makes great quarterbacks. But this initial one, I think, you know, of course, Tyreek Hill is there, but it's the signature, I think, Mahomes-Kelce combo. And you should relish it because you don't know when, you know, that torch will be passed, and Kelce just continues to put up fantastic numbers.
No, he does. He's right behind Gronk as far as tight end catches in the postseason.
Right.
And he's going to catch him. He's still got fewer games, of course, than Gronk has. But Patrick Mahomes as well, Pete. Here's a guy, you know, the spotlight was on him. It's the postseason. What's Patrick going to be able to do? And he only goes out with 400 yards, 5 touchdowns. The only quarterback to ever win a game in the postseason with those two numbers. The only other quarterback to do that was Big Ben. The 2017 season was the 2018 playoff game against the Jags, and they lost that game, believe it or not, that's when Jacksonville had that one good year with Blake Bortles. But regardless, he was doing things we hadn't heard of, and I think really we kind of put his most impressive stretch. 10 minutes, 30 seconds of game time, he throws 5 touchdown passes, meaning that's the best ever. Tom Brady is number 2, a little under 25 minutes. So he was half as short, but that 10 minutes and 30 seconds of game time might be the most brilliant stretch we've ever seen from him.
Yeah, and I think you needed it. You needed something really special, I think, to happen for Kansas City. They didn't do what Buffalo did, where you play New England, the greatest defensive mind of all time, and you'd score a touchdown on every single drive. that's pretty daunting. Even if you're able to beat the Steelers, and let's say it was a close game, for example, you're a little bit nervous, I think, coming into this game. But the Chiefs did something special as well. Yeah, they didn't score a touchdown in every drive. We talked with Ron about their first quarter and some of their struggles. But to have five touchdowns in 10:30, and then also it's part of six straight touchdowns with Kelce throwing one of all people. I just think it's a special, special night for them as well. And you have these two offensive steamrollers coming at each other, and that's what's going to make this game not only fun for Kansas Cityans to enjoy, people from Buffalo, but, man, the whole country is going to be watching this game. I can only wonder what these numbers are going to be when they come in on Monday. I think it's going to be absurd.
Well, I was on with the Buffalo station. It was news at our sister station there in Buffalo, and they'd asked me, they said, what else besides Mahomes and Josh Allen is the storyline? I said, well, that is the storyline.
Right, maybe we can
talk about McDermott and Andy Reid if we want to go that direction, but the storyline is on Mahomes and Josh Allen. You even asked Andy Reid about Josh.
Coach, I know you're presumably locking in on the defense here, but when you look at Allen and what he's been able to do, how have you seen him grown in his short career here?
Yeah, listen, he's done he's playing good football. He's done a nice job. Watched him when he was at Wyoming. He was a heck of a player there, well coached, and moves into the National Football League, and every year he's gotten better. And I mean, what more can you ask from a quarterback than that, from a coaching standpoint?
So there's the respect to Josh Allen. You know, he gave a lot of respect to Patrick Mahomes as well when he was asked in Buffalo about it. But it is about these quarterbacks. He does scramble well, and the Chiefs not exactly great at stopping scrambling quarterbacks this year. But is this the rivalry, Pete, that we've been looking for? Is this Brady, Manning, Mahomes, Allen, or is Lamar Jackson out of the picture still? Or Deshaun Watson, if he gets back in the picture? Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert? Who is the true quarterback rivalry?
I mean, it seems like the best candidate right now is still, to me, Burrow. Herbert let me down. I can't even say Herbert anymore with a straight face until they're able to make the postseason.
Thank you.
You
finally admitted it.
Well, I still like Herbert probably the most. You know, you're just talking about level of play of these guys.
But you like Burrow better?
They got to win something.
You like Burrow better? You say it.
I don't.
He's never going to say it. I will never say this.
I think right now, though, if you're asking me, okay, well, who's the number one rival to Mahomes, it's probably going to be Burrow with how he's looked these last couple of weeks in these big spots, right? Because at the end of the day, you can look as good in individual plays, and your highlight reel can be fun, but unless you're putting together wins and championships, no one's really going to care about that. So right now, Burrow's in that mix, right? He's one of the final eight teams left. So Burrow's there. I think Allen is in that mix. I don't think we should start sleeping on Lamar just because the Ravens didn't make it. They had a ton of injuries. I think there's a lot of young, good quarterbacks. What's weird is the AFC is full of these guys, and you don't really have a ton of those in the NFC where you're really like, oh, there's the youth movement. It's all in the one conference, and I think that is what makes AFC games so exciting.
I'm excited about it. But again, can you get to Mahomes' level? I think people forget about how good he is. By the way, Mahomes, 400 yards and five touchdown passes. He's got four of them now. No other quarterback has that. 72 starts. Peyton Manning has three of those games, 292 starts. Dan Marino, three of those games and 258 starts. Joe Montana, three of those games and 187 starts. That's the kind of stuff we're seeing from Patrick Mahomes. Coming up next, though, Pete.
Not too bad.
Andy Reid, he gave a good food analogy.
That's surprising.
About winning the postseason, the Super Bowl, compared to food. And guess what? McDermott obliged the same today with the Buffalo media.
Excellent.
Give you guys this next.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley. Brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Arrowhead Pride Radio. Brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. Dream bigger. Jay Binkley, Pete Sweeney, the editor in chief, arrowheadpride.com. Speaking of arrowheadpride.com, we'll have Ron Kopp stay around the 7 o'clock hours. We look at the Buffalo Bills game as well. Andy Reid was asked about the Super Bowl and how hungry he remains for another ring.
Yeah, well, if you like chocolate cake and you eat a piece and then you have one dangled in front of your face, you're probably going to want to eat that too. Not much is going to stop you. So, I mean, that's how you feel about the Super Bowl. I mean, that is the chocolate cake with the ultimate frosting. You're going to try to go get it if you can. You know, that's the best he can.
Just don't dangle it in front of his face. Sean McDermott was asked this question today, the head coach of the Bills.
I'll just focus on winning this week. Let's just keep it 1 week at a time. But just, yeah, I mean, on a lighter moment, I guess, I'd appreciate a big chocolate milkshake. How about that?
So he prefers chocolate milkshake, obviously.
What's your answer to that, Jay?
You know what? I'll go with those burritos.
Yeah. You're a big burrito. Beer. You're a big burrito,
dangle
man.
Beer in front of my face. But Andy's right, though. You dangle it in front of him. Like, you get to the Super Bowl, and you get the prize just right there. It's all you. It's why you're coaching. It's why he's still here with the Mahomes and the connection. But I understand what he's saying. I think Andy Reid wants to win more and more. And I heard Colin Cowherd today talking about how Andy Reid's won, what, 9 more games than Belichick the last 3 years. He's 6-1 in the playoffs. Belichick's 0-2. Belichick's 69. Andy Reid's 63. What is going to be the end of the story? As Andy Reid's been to 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
He's won one of them. So the sky's the limit. Obviously, he's in the collection mode of rings.
The one was so key, because I think that crossed off, okay, Hall of Fame. Because there were actually were some questions still, which is amazing to me. I always said even before he won the Super Bowl in 19, he was a Hall of Famer. But people were out there. And
this will be his 9th title game if he can make it.
Yeah, no, like, I just thought that was ridiculous. And he got the Super Bowl, so now that's done. And now what's left, right? Because he's in the top 5 in wins as far as a head coach goes. And so I think it is the idea of, can he become the best head coach of all time? And it's going to take more than one Super Bowl win. And that's why when you're there, you know, one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you were down to your offensive line, you know, your third string there. And that's tough, because when you're there, you got to win it. And he had those two experiences now where, you know, he wasn't able to get it done. But I think he's eyeing more Super Bowls. A lot of times we're wondering, well, he's getting older. He's in his 60s. How long is he going to go? I think as long as he can, right? Because I think he does have that desire to win multiple championships and to at least try, if he can, with this kid Mahomes, to rival what Bill Belichick was able to do. 6 seems like a lot, right? I don't think he's getting 6, but I think 3-4 is reasonable if you can put some together. And so, got to get it done right now. 3 wins are away. But I think there really is truth in that jest of the chocolate cake. I think he really desires multiple.
He's been unbelievable with the kids. He cheesed 4 straight years of 12 wins going forward. How about this one, too, Pete? You talk about he's 5th all-time in wins, regular season or postseason. How about this, though? Most NFL record book for most postseason wins. Belichick sits number 1 with 31. Tom Landry sits 2 with 20. Mm. Don Shula sits 3rd with 19. Andy Reid sits 4th all-time with 18. Joe Gibbs right behind him with 17. He passed Joe Gibbs this past game. But Shula just 1 ahead of him. Tom Landry 2 ahead of him. I mean, if he keeps going through here with postseason wins and the Chiefs were able to win the Super Bowl, and again, there's always next year and the year after, but
right,
there's a great chance that Belichick and Reid are number 1 and number 2 all-time in postseason wins.
It's incredible. And like I said, because it seems like Belichick's championships are insurmountable, I think it's going to be tough to be regarded as that. But who knows? Let's see what he ends up finishing with. Let's see what the final numbers are when both of these guys are done. People forget, too, that Belichick is, I believe it's 6 years older than?
Yeah, 69.
So there's some room. Andy Reid's actually younger. You know, I know that he did have a little bit of a health scare this year, but so long as he can continue to coach, who knows, by the time that Andy Reid is Bill Belichick's age now, what type of numbers are we looking at there?
Here's the one thing. Yeah, I think Alex Smith, you know, he was the right guy at the right time for Andy Reid, but it was always getting that one quarterback.
Yeah.
And when Patrick Mahomes was drafted, like, he had choices.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Deshaun Watson was one of those choices. And Patrick Mahomes was one of those choices. And we've gone around and around. Was it Dorsey? Who was Veach? Who was it that drafted? Obviously, Dorsey or John Dorsey was the GM at the time. But Andy Reid had to sign off on whoever's going to be the quarterback. Because to me, this is his pelt on the wall. It was going to be, how good can Mahomes develop will be Andy Reid's legacy as the quarterback whisperer in the National Football League. And so he's got him. He could do whatever he wants offensively. Now, I always thought the playbook was limited with Alex.
Yeah.
But it's wide open with Patrick Mahomes because he can do everything that Andy Reid desires a quarterback to do.
Well, he's kind of like a combination between all of Andy's quarterbacks in a sense. Like, you know, I think about Donovan McNabb and Michael Vick and what Alex was able to teach Mahomes from a prep standpoint, you know, face-to-face. Andy Reid constantly says that about Alex in the sense that he really taught him how to be a pro and to prepare the right way at the pro level. And you know, I think he's a better quarterback than Vic, and I think he's a better quarterback than McNabb, and these are some of the greats, right, that we're talking about. And for Reed to find it, yeah, it was at the age of 60, but I think that's why he's going to go as long as he possibly can. I mean, and we'll see how long that is, and I think a lot has to do with how close can he reasonably get. I mean, it sounds insane for someone to rack up 7 Super Bowls, and then now you have Tom Brady that turns around and just does it. So who knows? Who's to stop anyone from doing anything?
Do you notice a difference in Andy Reid from when you first got here to now? With that Super Bowl, you talked about the pressure being off, because it seems like he's been a lot more relaxed the last couple of years. I mean, that drive that he had to get that chocolate cake, now they got it, but he's been a lot more relaxed with everything, and he's so detailed.
I do think that, and this is nothing against Alex, because I liked covering Alex too, but I do think when you're playing with a quarterback like Alex, who you can win with, but there's just more you have to do as a head coach when it comes to scheming. Like, there are times when Andy Reid's brilliant plays break down and Patrick Mahomes just goes and makes a play. That's what makes him so good. And so there's a little bit of pressure of that. And I think once you do get the monkey of a Super Bowl off your back, you just feel, okay, I mean, that was a 20-year thing. I mean, I go back to, we talked about Kelsey before, the Travis Kelsey speech at the podium. He had a few beers that day after the parade, but I think he really spoke for the entire team and saying, man, we really tried to do this for Andy Reid. And it wasn't really even just about the 19 Chiefs to me. It was all those Eagles teams that came up short. I think everybody really wanted to see the Chiefs do it. And if you remember, the Chiefs were the fan favorites that year. It's a little bit different now. There's that Chiefs fatigue.
It's like the Royals at 14. Everybody loved them. 15, they didn't.
You love them, right? And a lot had to do with, man, this is one of the better football men in the game. Let's get him a title.
And we have an Ask Pete here from the 913. Sorry, Ralph in Dodge City. I'll get to you next week, because Ralph's always busy with questions.
Yeah, a lot of questions from him.
913 says, I really believe Buffalo was a great team, but how'd they lose 6 games with the second easiest schedule in the league? And that's a question. It's a great question, because they did lose to the Jags. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks prior, Josh Allen had 43% completion against the Falcons. They struggled against the Jets until 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Then they looked brilliant on Saturday. I don't know how they lost 6 games. I expected more from them.
It's a high variance team, and you do wonder which version you'll get against Kansas City. They had their best game of the year, and it's not even going to come close. Not to say they can't win any more games, but their best game of the year has come and gone on Saturday night.
It was their Super Bowl, hopefully.
Yeah.
They can get rings for that.
You know, they won the AFC East 2 years in a row. They got more to do. We'll see what happens.
And I seem to have the Patriots.
Hey, I do want to say, well, thank you to Chris, of course, right? But stick around. Ron Kopp, our lead analyst at Arrowhead Pride, is doing a full hour of radio tonight.
Looking forward to it.
I don't know if he's done that yet, right? That's the first time for him. So stick around.
Well, he's done this show with us before when you were playing around out there.
That's right. I was doing my LA thing. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Huge thanks to Chris and Osero for producing the operation. Thanks to Ron Kopp for the normal 6:15 segment he does each and every week on Arrowhead Pride Radio. We'll podcast this bad boy as well.